You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
And it's hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We will preview tonight's Rams-Seahawks game coming up in a little bit. Voice of the Dodgers, Charlie Steiner. Hope that voice is holding up. Had a great call last night as Chris Taylor wins it in walk-off fashion, giving the Dodgers a 3-1 win over the Cardinals in the wild card game. Now they move on to face the Giants. Fourth walk-off in Dodger postseason history. Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Kurt Gibson back in 1988. The Cardinals lost via a walk-off for the fifth time in the last 15 years in the postseason, second most to the Yankees, who lost six times. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. McLovin, the poll question, we say good morning to our radio and TV partner.
Okay, this is weird. If you're an LA fan, who would you want to win the title next? Rams 1, Chargers 2, whoa, Dodgers 3, and Lakers 4. Now, what? I don't know if these are LA people vote. They might not be up yet. That doesn't ring true, does it?
No, I don't think so. It still feels like the LA fan is, you know, chewing up the Chargers and spitting them out. You know, the Rams, I can get on that bandwagon. I understand that one. I mean, the Dodgers and Lakers, it's every year. It's not like you go, hey, we won a title recently for both of these teams. You want to continue to win. You don't go, oh, we can take a year off. Yeah, McLovin.
But you got to remember, this is national people voting on this, and who's on the Lakers, and why do you think they're last?
Oh, LeBron.
It might be anti-LeBron votes here.
Maybe Skip Bayless is just hitting everybody but the Lakers. Maybe. He's just sitting there with Shannon Sharp. I was watching Major League Baseball Network last night. And you know I don't like Major League Baseball Network because they've beaten us twice for this Sports Emmy. But I'm watching because I want to get ready for the game. And I'm watching as Mike Lowell and Cliff Floyd break down one play in the Red Sox-Yankees game. And I was fascinated by it. I thought they did a wonderful job. It was the relay from Xander Bogaerts, and he throws out Aaron Judge at the plate. But everything that went into it, and I thought Mike did an unbelievable job because he's giving you things that nobody else is giving you. Like, you have to be in those moments and understand what an infielder does. And I said to Fritzy, I said, if Mike can join us, great. If not, just tell him. They did a great job last night. Mike Lowell, kind enough to join us, MLB Network analyst. He won two World Series titles, and he was the 07 World Series MVP. Mike, congrats. That was great TV last night. And the fact that you followed up and called Xander Bogaerts and got even more information, but can you try to capsulize what happened on that play that we wouldn't have seen as just baseball fans?
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate the kind words. You know, it's always a benefit when the head coach, the manager, is one of your best friends. So I actually called Alex Cora, you know, to congratulate him. And I said, you know, we're going to do a breakdown, Cliff and I. And what we noticed is Xander keeps looking to third. And, you know, Fenway is a very different type park. You know, center field is much shallower. The ball caroms off that wall so much harder than normal parks. So I said, is he looking at Devers? Because sometimes, you know, when I was playing third, you'd kind of point, you know, because you don't hear 4-4-4. You don't, you know, you got to be looking. And I said, or is he looking at Phil Nevin? And he goes, well, Xander's right next to me. I'll put you on speaker. So I was like, oh, wow, how great is this? So I asked him, he's like, I'm looking at Nevin. And I found that to be so unique because, you know, guys run through stop signs all the time. So to look at what the third base coach was doing, I thought was really special because his other thing is right before he's pointing at Christian Arroyo to stay on second base as the second cut guy, because if he's holding Judge, they want to keep the double play in order or have a play at second if Stanton goes for the double. So there were so many components to that I was like, man, this is fascinating. We got to, you know, kind of bring maybe the fan into it. And the fact that, you know, it's a playoff game, so we have so many different camera angles. When they show the one from above where it really shows him looking at Judge, touch second, going to third, and then really staring at Nevin to the point where he's still looking at him and Kike's ball's in the air. So that was really cool for me. And you know, Kike's ball was a good short hop. You know, you don't want to get that in-between hop. He put his feet perfectly. He saw that Stanton wasn't going. They were waving Judge. The transition was perfect. And it was a huge part of the game, too. You know, he's safe at home, and it's 3-2, one out runner on second. You know, I think all the momentum that the Red Sox had really would have changed there.
And he's not known as a great fielder, had the big home run as well. But once again, to put this in layman's terms, what Mike was talking about and how fascinating it was, Bogaerts is going to get the relay. he's looking at the third base coach and the ball is in the air and he's looking at Phil Nevin and then looks back, presence of mind, scoop it off the bounce, and then turn and throw because he knows that he's going home. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was great inside baseball and something that I never would have thought of because I think everybody thought, should he have sent him? You know, the Yankees are very aggressive. Phil Nevin's an aggressive third base coach, and he sends Aaron Judge, and you even said he's got plus speed. What was it the wrong move, though? If you look at the situation, we know what the end result is, Mike. Was it wrong on Phil Nevin to send him in that situation?
I don't think so. And my main reason for saying that is there weren't no outs, so I don't want the first out being at home plate. And even though your cleanup hitter's, you know, the next guy up, Joey Gallo's hitting a .160 for you. You know, he's a big strikeout guy. And not to say, well, look, I told you. So he ends up popping to short left field. You know, I don't know if the Yankees have the confidence in Gallo, Torres, and the guys that follow him after that. So I got to push the button a little. And going back to your point, Dan, the way Judge gets on is kind of a chopper to Xander Bogaerts that he beats out. So that's kind of been the analytics knock on Xander Bogaerts. He doesn't have those great numbers on defensive runs saved, but that play never comes up in the analytics. And it's literally, He's saving a run and it'll never come out. It'll come out as, hey, he handled a good relay and made a good throw, which a lot of shortstops can do. But in that situation, I don't think a lot of shortstops take into account everything that went on in that play.
You can watch Mike Lowell and Major League Baseball Network, the two-time World Series champ. He was the MVP of the 2007 World Series MVP. And you can watch MLB Central at 11 a.m. Eastern, plus MLB Network will exclusively air Game 2 between the White Sox and the Astros. That'll be tomorrow afternoon. The Dodgers last night, it didn't seem fair that either one of these teams was going to lose. What do you take away from that game if you're Dave Roberts and the Dodgers? And, you know, subsequently the Giants watching what happened last night.
Well, I think it sets up for a great rivalry, you know, Dodgers-Giants for, you know, the NLDS. I think it would have been a crying shame that a team that wins 106 games during the regular season, you know, goes home after one. Not that I was rooting for them. I just for the integrity of playing 162, you know, and I'm more of the advocate of the TV must see elimination game. It's fantastic. You know, I was glued to the TV with Yankees Red Sox. I was glued last night. It hurts me to think that you put in 6 months of work and you play 10 times the games that a football team does. And it comes down to one. I don't like that. I would much prefer a 2 out of 3, but what I did take away from that, Dan, is the Dodgers bullpen's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because Max Scherzer, you know, for me, the aces, what really makes an ace is when they don't have their good stuff, do they still grind it out? You know, and Max Scherzer was a little off, and he still grinds out one run just over, you know, 5 1/3. He lays it out to the bullpen, and that combination, Joe Kelly's been on fire. Kenley Jansen looks great again. Trinan was fantastic. You know, they got a lot of arms that come postseason, you play 2 games in an off day. You play another 2 games in an off day. So you can get rest, and the same guy can, you know, in a 5-game series, he can throw 4 games. In a 7-game series, he can throw 5 games. So I think Dave Roberts has to be really happy with his options that he can go to after his starters. They're so loaded anyways. I mean, the depth really shows with that team.
Yeah, and I wonder if you polled a baseball fan who didn't have a rooting interest, what's the matchup you want? Dodgers-Astros make the most sense?
From a talent standpoint, I think the Astros are super underrated. You know, the Giants, I think, kind of surpassed all expectations. I mean, most people, I think, predicted them probably third in their own division. So the fact that they won so many games is pretty incredible. You know, I give Gabe Kapler a lot of credit.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers are so deep, and I think you run through that Astros lineup and, you know, you say, well, they got Altuve and Bregman and Correa and Brantley, and their best hitter is Kyle Tucker. You know, he's kind of one of these under-the-radar guys who's going to hit 7th in the lineup. So they're real deep. Their starting staff is much better than people think. So I think there are a lot of good teams left. It makes for a pretty potent postseason for, you know, the fans to kind of get engaged with.
What did you win winning the MVP in 2007?
Two cars. It was pretty good. And little bonus.
Two?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was the first time Chevy, they were kind of going through the hybrid. So they gave me a hybrid Tahoe and a hybrid, I think, Chevy Malibu.
So where are they?
I kept the Tahoe. Now, it's been a few years, Dan. So I kept the Tahoe, used that one for a few years. The Malibu, one of my good friend's daughter was going to school. So we kind of worked out a nice little deal for her there. So I can't say I drove the Malibu too much.
What's your favorite story with those Red Sox that you're allowed to tell?
Allowed to tell.
Yeah, because you were under the radar. Like, you didn't make headlines. You just went out there and played every day. You know, you were a baseball player. You had personalities on there.
We did. You know, and I think the best, I guess, story that I could tell is when we got into each city, you know, the coaching staff and the media that belong with the team, that travel with the team, go in one bus, and the players are all on the second bus, and you're all going to the hotel. And David Ortiz always gets on the mic. And first of all, he starts asking the bus driver, do you know who we are? You know, and he starts asking, and you know, the bus driver, you know, you get very different person. Some guys don't want to talk, but yeah, Poppy, I know who you are. And he goes, you know, we got a guy on our team that played with Babe Ruth. His name is Tim Wakefield. So then they start going back and forth, and Wake's in the back. And he's like, you know, why don't you go see a dentist? You got some gap in you. So it was a really good back and forth, probably a little bit not very politically correct in these days. But those stories are good. You know, that's the camaraderie that I think for me as a former player, I love covering the game and baseball, but those are the times you miss. You know, I don't think people miss the travel. It's kind of like the off the field stuff and, you know, the things you did together as a team.
Did you cowboy up? Did you do shots before postseason games?
I was not part of cowboy up, although Kevin Millar was my teammate with the Marlins for a number of years. I'm not going to say I've never taken a shot before a game. You know, sometimes when you're in a big slump, Dan, you go to some extreme measure. You know, you got to do it, you know, maybe a BP little hit was not out of the question, but those were good times. You know, I really felt like in my career, I went from, you know, the attendance, you know, the lowest attendance with the Marlins when, you know, we were, and we're a pretty good team and we're playing in front of 6,000 fans, especially when we're making a little bit of a run, to Boston, where, you know, every game that I played for 5 years in Fenway was a sellout. You know, it's a pretty cool, that's a pretty cool experience.
What's the strangest thing you ever heard when you're playing in front of no crowd, no audience with the Marlins?
Oh, cell phones for me. The craziest one was right after the Hurricanes. I think it was Katrina that went through Florida and, you know, kind of canceled our games. We had to play the Expos in Chicago in Comiskey, whatever it's called now. I don't know. They changed. So imagine that. The Expos that don't draw well, the Marlins that don't draw well, playing a game in Chicago. I think we drew like 800 fans. So there, I do remember a cell phone went off. He's like, yeah, I got great seats. Yeah, Lowell's right there. He's probably not going to hit much today. And I'm like, I can hear you. That's not fair. You know, so yeah, it's much better. 40,000 is much better because everything's just a buzz. You don't really hear when they're criticizing you. So I prefer that.
Before I say goodbye, Vegas still has the Dodgers, the favorites to win it all. You agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I love to play blackjack, but I'm not betting on baseball, you know, for whatever reason. They're just so deep. You know, I look at their lineup and they miss Max Muncy, and you look at the lineup they put out there, like, wow, that's a pretty deep lineup for the postseason. So I give them a lot of credit. A lot of people are like, oh, they're just stacking guys. But, you know, the ownership is willing to pay the dollars for it. You know, and there are a lot of teams that are in markets that can do the same thing. And, you know, the Dodgers find a way. If you told me they were going to pick up Scherzer and Turner at the deadline, I'd say you're crazy. So they go out and do it. They want to win, and they're stacking their team. And I don't have a problem with a team that's willing to spend to make their team as good as possible.
Mike, it's great to talk to you again. Please pass it on to Cliff that you guys did a wonderful job. That was great TV last night, and we'll be watching during the postseason.
I will. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Mike Lowell, the Major League Baseball Network analyst, and won the World Series twice and the MVP in 2007. You can watch MLB Central at 11 a.m. Eastern and MLB Network exclusively airing Game 2 between the White Sox Astros. That'll be tomorrow at 2 in the afternoon. Yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, going, I'm channel surfing because I'm trying to find the game. I didn't even know where the game was. I'm like, oh, is it Fox Sports 1? Is it ESPN? Wait, is it TBS? And then I went to MLB and I just they were breaking down this play and how the ball came off the wall at Fenway. Center field is a lot shallower than most ballparks there. The relay, Bogart's play, his role in all of this, watching the third base coach while the ball is in the air to him, because he had to make a snap decision. If I throw it and then all of a sudden I take us out of the double play, but I also want to get Aaron Judge at the plate if he's going. And he saw Phil Nevin, third base coach, waving Aaron Judge, and it was like that. So quick. It was wonderful. All right, we'll preview the Rams-Seahawks matchup. That'll be coming up. And about an hour from now, the voice of the Dodgers, Charlie Steiner, will stop by. Chris Mad Dog Russo brings a little high heat on MLB Network. He's a big San Francisco Giants fan. Mad Dog will join us coming up a little bit later on as well. 17 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Discover is accepted at 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards. Now, why do I say that? Well, a few reasons. Discover matches all the cash back you're going to earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. That's amazing. And it's accepted everywhere, 99% of the places. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn more. Discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile. Taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. McLovin, update the poll results, please.
It's bizarre. If you're an LA fan, who would you want to win the title? 38% say the Rams, 33% the Chargers, and only 17% the Dodgers.
I don't think that's a truly reflective of the city of Los Angeles.
Okay, I've been sitting on my who's more talented poll.
Oh.
If you're at some point you want
okay.
that.
All right. Is this football related?
Football, right.
Okay, all right.
Who is the more talented quarterback, Russell Wilson or Matthew Stafford?
More talented.
So that it's up to the user how you define talented.
Okay. Well, why don't we have the user be Steve Palazzolo, who's the co-host of Pro Football Focus. He spends his life analyzing the numbers here. And we have Seattle hosting the Rams coming up tonight. Steve, the more talented quarterback, Matthew Stafford and Russell Wilson Jr. III.
Yeah, it really does come down to how you define talent. And I usually lean toward better football player because talent has to show up on the field. So I'd go Russell Wilson because all of the talents that he has includes winning from the pocket, winning from outside the pocket, accuracy, decision-making. I think decision-making's talent, isn't it? I mean, that's part of it. So I think a lot of times we lean toward physical tools, and I'll always say Stafford has three games a year where he looks like he's the most talented quarterback in the NFL. It's like, man, if I could bottle that up and multiply it by five, this is a Hall of Famer. But consistency also matters, I think, too. So Stafford does special things, but Russ, I would say – I'd give them the edge there.
Why are you not all in on the Seahawks? Have you labeled them pretenders?
No, I mean, I think their defense is still a major question mark. They've got the ninth worst coverage grade by PFF standards here. They're not challenging passes enough. They had a nice week last week against the 49ers, but the defense is still a major question mark. And the offense, it's a new offense. It's, Shane Waldron comes in and it's a little top heavy right now. So when they create those explosive plays, they're great. It's all the other plays in the middle. They just haven't been as efficient as they've been in the past. I think they'll figure it out, but I think there's still some growth for Seattle.
Well, handicap the NFC West right now, because you're looking at Arizona, and I was on Arizona's bandwagon last year. And then I was the last one on Arizona's bandwagon. Everybody had fallen off. Should we be high? Why should we be high on the Cardinals?
They are, I mean, first off, Kyler Murray, you don't always have quarterbacks just get better every year. It's not like a Madden game where you just add a couple points overall. It doesn't work that way. But it worked like that for Josh Allen. And it looks like it's working like that for Kyler Murray. It's not common, but Kyler's getting better every single year. And he is All of a sudden, Arizona also has an incredible group of playmakers. Just the ability to move Christian Kirk into the slot as an explosive threat. Max Williams, I think if Max Williams was in another system, he's a top 10 tight end. And, you know, they threw a seam route to him for a touchdown the other day. They've got guys to throw to beyond DeAndre Hopkins. So I think that's great. Kyler's development, his ability to throw the ball over the middle of the field, which he wasn't doing his first couple seasons. And then he's just got those two or three freak plays per game where it's like, hey, try to tackle me. I'm going to scramble, or I'm going to scramble to throw and you can't stop it. So Kyler's got all of that going for him. The playmakers are great. Defense might be overachieving a touch right now, and that'd be my only concern, I think, with Arizona would be that secondary.
Let me go back to the Rams, because they have led with their defense. Is that defense still formidable, top five, top three, best in football?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things we study a lot here at PFF, where if you are a team banking on defense year over year, it's tough to do, because a lot of defensive success is based off who you play. So, you know, the Rams were as good as it gets at a limiting explosive play. So, you know, the 20 games prior to week three, when they faced the Bucs, they'd only given up 78 explosive plays, you know, 15 plus yards. That's about four per game. That's incredible. In today's NFL, to limit offenses to four per game is outstanding. Over the last 2 weeks, the Rams, they played the Bucs and they played the Cardinals, two explosive offenses. They gave up 8.5 per game, so more than double. So it's one of those things, if the Rams are only going to bank on their defense going forward, they're in trouble. Luckily, they have a good offense, but their defense has started to show some holes, right, from last year. And I don't know if it's the Brandon Staley factor or whatever it might be, but the Rams will have a good defense, not as dominant as last year. I think that was predictable, and they'll have to rely on that offense continuing to be one of the most efficient in the NFL.
I know you study every play. You guys grade every play. I said I would not put Justin Fields in there, given the upcoming schedule. That is, okay, so they just got through with Detroit. Now you have Vegas in Vegas, Green Bay, you have Tampa, you have San Francisco, Pittsburgh's defense, Baltimore's defense, and then you get Detroit again. What's going to change here in the next 6 or 7 weeks, Steve, that you need to have Justin Fields in there instead of Andy Dalton?
Nothing's changed except probably a little bit of outside pressure. I mean, my whole thing with Fields and any rookie quarterback is the Bears have to make the best decision for Justin Fields, not for 2021, but for 22, 23, and 24. What's the best decision for his development? And I don't think there's a clear cut play him and let him take his lumps, or sit him like Mahomes or like Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there's a clean answer there, but I respect teams who stick with it, right? And say, look, we're going to sit him or we're going to play him. With Fields, there is the fear of what happened in the Browns game. One net passing yard, getting sacked 9 times. And that wasn't all just play calling, despite the narratives. That's not all Matt Nagy's fault. It was the offensive line was trash. You know, the Browns were incredible. Myles Garrett was a freak in that game. And Justin Fields had some issues, you know, holding the ball and not seeing things, right? So that part of it is the scary thing. If he has another game where he gets sacked 7, 8, 9 times, does that affect his long-term development? So that would be the question on Fields. The Raiders pass rush is our number one graded pass rush, and they're doing it with a 4-man rush. So I think we'll learn a lot this week. But it's a tough situation, because I don't think the Bears should be thinking about winning now. They got to be thinking about what's best for Fields long term.
Yeah, that's where I am. Patrick Mahomes didn't start his first year because they had Alex Smith, and they were coming off, I think, a 12-4 season. If they were getting rid of Alex Smith and they were 8-8, Mahomes probably would have started. Aaron Rodgers didn't want to sit. It just, they weren't going to sit down Brett Favre. Like, we make it seem like, boy, they had this strategy in place. They didn't really have a strategy in place. It was like, we got Mahomes, we'll move on from, Alex, and then, you know, eventually Favre is going to get old and we'll put in Aaron Rodgers. I just don't understand this philosophy of put Justin Fields in there. Like, hey, we got to see the fans and the media. Like, we got to see something new. We know what Andy Dalton is. We need hope here. And it feels like they're kind of banking on, hey, here's your hope. Go out there and try to survive.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you're the Bears organization, you certainly shouldn't be making decisions based off the fans and the media, or we know, or just by Andy Dalton in general. I will stick with that. I don't care what Andy Dalton does. If your plan, if you think Justin Fields has to sit 17 games, fine. If you think he needs to sit until he gets it, whatever gets it means at practice, then that should be the practice. You know, like whenever you think he's ready, whether it's week 1, 10, or 17, or 18, it doesn't matter. Just stick with it. So it does feel like their hands being forced a little bit based off of the situation.
Steve Palazzolo, he is the co-host of Pro Football Focus NFL podcast. Do you have power rankings at PFF?
We do. I don't have them right in front of me, but yeah, they are over there at PFF.com.
All right.
I could try to dig them up real quick.
Who do you think's the top rated, like the analytics? I know Cardinals are the last undefeated team.
Yeah, so it certainly wouldn't be based off of record. I mean, we still have the Chiefs as the top team. And the way we do a lot of our power rankings are like, if you played these teams on a neutral field, what are they against an average team? What are they going to be favored by? And the Chiefs are favored by 7 points against an average team on a neutral field. That's the number one team, because our power rankings are taking in not just four games, but everything that we know. So it's the Chiefs, the Bucs, and then the Bills are our top three teams. So we haven't come far off of the Chiefs are still legit. The Bucs are still legit, even though they, you know, things haven't been perfect for either team through four games. And then the Bills, they've risen through the rankings just a little bit because their defense is far better than we expected. Plus, you know, their offense is still really good, led by Josh Allen.
What's PFF think of Dallas's defense?
It's definitely better this year. I think Trevon Diggs has 5 interceptions in 4 games, and you know, it's tough to maintain turnover rate, so to speak. So that's one thing that could regress. But I think Dallas last year at this time, that it was busted coverages left and right and big plays. They've done a much better job of just not losing games, right? And it has coincided with their running attack being a little bit better. Whether that is causation, I don't know, but the defense has been better, and all they needed to be was not a disaster, because I think that offense is fantastic with Dak and all those playmakers.
We have a new designation. McLovin, do you want to give this to Steve?
Yeah. Is there such a thing as wow plays from a quarterback?
So I created a stat with using the PFF numbers just called big time throws. So we could do this with the run game too, but a big time throw for us is, you know, because we're grading every player on every play and we have levels of grading. It's all of our highest graded plays.
Yeah, but BTT doesn't sound as good as wow.
Look,
plays.
I'm not the best at naming stuff.
I know, help you. You can take this. You take PFF can have wow plays.
You want wow plays?
Yeah, instead of
trademark
big time throws. I mean, nobody cares. Big A has a big time throw. No, it's a wow play. Wow play means it could be, you know, Zeke Elliott running for 50 yards.
Yeah, for us, it would be, you know, we grade everybody on 0.5 increments. Anything plus one or better at any position could be a wow play. All right, I'll run that up the chain and see if we could get, because we could absolutely pull that out. We have that.
Come on, you're sitting around and you're going, hey, guys, what do you think about wow plays? You don't even have to give us credit. Like a bunch of nerds sitting around, you know, looking at game film. I mean,
I was going to take big time throws to the moon and you just, you know.
No. Yeah, take it, leave it there. Give it to Elon Musk. Let him take it up there and leave it up there. Like, wow plays.
Wow plays. We'll do it. All right.
Great to talk to you, Steve. Have a good weekend. Thank you, bud.
Thank you, guys.
Steve Palazzolo. What's wow stand for, though? Yes, Paul.
It's a throw that's wild or impactful. we're workshopping. Wild or impressive?
Wimpactful's got a nice ring to it.
That's a wow throw. It's wild or wimpactful.
Wait, are you spelling it W-I-M?
Yeah, because impactful doesn't match wow, and W-O-I doesn't work at all.
Well, what about wow or winpactful?
Okay.
W-I-N.
I'm good with that, too.
It's about winning. Winning. McLovin?
But what if it's a play when Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl ran around for like 45 seconds and was falling down and threw 50 yards and the guy dropped the ball? Is that a wow play? According to PFF, it probably is.
Well, it could be an impactful throw because they dropped it and it could have changed the complexion of the game.
Yeah.
I think so.
So wow, we want to define it as anything that makes you say wow. That was what I would say. Wow.
Like Russell Wilson had a throw the other day. About to be sacked. It's like, wow.
That was wimpactful.
Yes, it was.
Wheelie wimpactful.
Who would you think would lead wow? Like who would top three or four?
Who would be the wowest?
Yeah, who would be the top wow?
Top wow. I guess Mahomes and I mentioned this, I don't know how long ago it was, but the number of quarterbacks who are trying to emulate Patrick Mahomes is like the number of basketball players trying to emulate Steph Curry. Every quarterback wants to throw like Patrick Mahomes. You know, starting at 6th, 7th, 8th grade, off balance, underhand, all of these things. It's the same thing with Steph Curry. Patrick Mahomes is to quarterbacking what Steph Curry is to shooting. And you're going to have more. Remember when Zach Wilson had his pro day? What did we want to see? Can he roll left, throw right, and throw it 50 yards, 60 yards? Hey, he can. Just like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's all you have to do. Your pro day, you do that, and you went, boy, man, he looked good at his pro day. He did? Yeah, he rolled left and he threw right for 50 yards. How was the rest of the pro day? Oh, I don't know, but he rolled left and threw right. So you have Buffalo at Kansas City this weekend, Rams Seattle tonight, Cleveland at the Chargers, Chicago at the Raiders, and you got the Jets, Atlanta in London. Has there ever been a game in London where both teams had winning records? Neither. Yes, McLovin.
That's one of our worst exports. The teams we sent out there, it's Jaguars.
Not, I know.
But do you think in London they know they just leave the record off? They say, the Jaguars coming to town, Trevor Lawrence.
By the way, Trevor Lawrence had this to say about Urban Meyer yesterday.
I think everything's been right on schedule, like normal. I think we've operated well. At the end of the day, I can speak for myself for sure, and I know most of the team feels this way. He's still my head coach. I still respect him, regardless of what happens. Like I said, we're a team, and we're figuring it out.
I mean, all you want to do is get into that press conference and get the hell out. Like, how many questions do you think they're going to ask about coach? I don't know. You know, I'm going to tell him, you know, you can ask one question about it or, you know. And he's probably going, all right, when's the question going to happen? Because that's another thing. When you go into the press conference, when do they hit you with the question? Because you don't want to be blindsided where all of a sudden you're going, hey, you know, something, and then you look really good. Yeah, I felt really good about it. What do you think about the video of Coach in the bar? Well, I can speak for myself. You know, we're all behind him. Yes,
he goes. I can speak for myself, and I know most of the guys.
Ooh. Yes, Todd.
Now, if you're in the room, do you push it further and say, "But have you lost some respect? You may still respect the coach, but how does your opinion of him has it changed? Something along those lines."
It's a local media, and I don't know if somebody's going to go. But have you lost respect for your coach? I don't think somebody's going to ask him that. Boy, that'd be tough to ask. Yeah, see.
You could break the ice by asking him how impactful he's been
hey,
this season.
What do you think of wow plays?
Have you updated your WMVP odds?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Wookiee of the year?
Wookiee
of the year. Most impactful.
Okay.
Wookiee.
Yes, Todd.
They could have also asked, what does he need to do to regain the player's respect? This, you play that cute game where it's assumed some respect has been lost. So what does he need to do to make things better between
them? Right. Yeah, I think you could do that. Got to dance around a little bit. Yeah, Paulie?
It's not a good sign where you prefer to talk about your 0-4 team. Any questions about our horrendous losing streak or how that we suck? Nothing?
Has it been a year since they won? They won week one of last year. So it's been over a year. Wow. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, that's the question. How come your defense stinks, by the way? It has nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah. You still have to ask the question. Do you ask the question because you have to ask the question? Not that you're going to get a good answer out of him. What's he going to say? No. And I know that everybody gets caught up and he didn't take the plane trip home. How many times is a coach going to be close to a city where his family is and it's a Thursday night? And look, I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just giving you both sides of it. Is it a good look? It's not a good look when that's where we find you. If there's no video that came out, there was no story that came out, and he stayed over to visit his grandkids, is this a story? And the answer is no, it's not. Yeah, Todd.
And also, he gave the team a couple days off. It would have been really bad if he stayed back partying in a bar or something, and they still had to run sprints and have practices and meetings
Him. Where's coach? Yeah. All right, we'll get to more phone calls coming up. We'll dissect the Dodgers and the Giants. That's the next series coming up. And Charlie Steiner, the voice of the Dodgers, will relive what happened last night. He had a great call. Great call last night, the walk-off home run. We'll take a break. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You didn't ask for it, but you're going to get it. Fritzy has a limerick based off last night's National League wildcard outcome.
I sure do.
All right, Todd, why don't you give that to us?
There's one for great baseball lore. Who knew such an ending in store? Now the Redbirds take flight. Dodgers walk off in the night. I don't believe what I just saw.
Okay. All right. I'm good. Isn't this reversed with, I don't believe you had Jack Buck who had a call when, was it Ozzie Smith hit a home run? And that was against, against the Dodgers?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
A home run for the Wizard.
Now, that wasn't the, I don't believe what I just saw.
No, that was
Gibby. But I just remember the Cardinals and the Dodgers with Jack Buck with the call when Ozzie Smith, I think they might have had a graphic that he hadn't homered in X number of at-bats or something crazy, and then he hit one down the right field line. Yes, Tom.
And didn't Joe get a chance to say the same line as Jack Buck when Jack said, we'll see you tomorrow night, and then Joe got a chance to say that same line?
That was the Twins-Braves.
How great was that?
And it was such a great call that it was a home run. Was that Kirby Puckett with the home run?
I believe you're right.
And it wasn't one of those, it might be, could be, it was just, I think it was off Charlie Liebrandt. And the call was, and we'll see you tomorrow night. And I just remember, like, when you have a home run call, you know, you want to be able to set the scene and the big buildup and all of that. And it was just a matter of fact of Kirby Puckett with a walk-off home run, I think off Charlie Liebrandt and into left center in the Metrodome. Tonight's Rams-Seahawks game is important because the NFC West is so competitive. But don't be surprised if the focus is going to be on Matthew Stafford. You know, we're still waiting to see if Matthew Stafford is a big elevation over Jared Goff. You would assume he is. Better working relationship with Sean McVay. You got Russell Wilson. Remember the issue with Russ when he came on the show after the Super Bowl and basically sounded like a guy who didn't want to stay in Seattle or didn't think he was going to be able to stay in Seattle? He had been sacked an average of 48 times per game. Well, a season. He's been sacked so far, 11 times so far. And you might say, well, all right, that's not a lot. Well, that's three games, 11 sacks, and then he goes against the Rams coming up tonight. Wilson has talented receivers. Stafford has talented receivers. The Rams lost to the Cardinals last week, kind of slowed down the bandwagon here. But you know, Sean McVay's offense has a lot of flash. Stafford throws a great deep ball. You know, we love the uniforms there. Got a new stadium there. But then you got Russell Wilson at the end of a game. Somehow, some way, usually comes down to Russ if he's able to make a play or not. And that's probably what's going to happen. How many times has Seattle won by double digits in the last 2 years? It always feels like it's a one-score game with Seattle, one way or another. I'm curious. You know, I mentioned this with the Chiefs. The Chiefs score points. They don't blow people out. You know, when you get a double-digit win like they did against the Eagles, like, that's rare. Like, you think, boy, the Chiefs blow people out, and you realize they don't blow them out. They beat them, but it's always by a touchdown or less. Yeah, Paulie?
Last year, the Seahawks, they won 12 games. Only one of those games did they win by more than 10 points.
Yeah.
They won 40-3 over the Jets, which you kind of take that one off the board.
Yeah. And therefore, it comes down to one or two plays by the Seahawks. It just feels that that's the way it is every single game. It feels like they're always down 9-7 at halftime. And it, then somehow, some way, in the final 3 or 4 minutes, it's like, Russ threw a touchdown pass. You know, Tyler Lockett's having a wonderful year. He's really, when the first time I noticed him was returning punts at Kansas State. And I remember coming in and I said to the Danettes, I said, this dude, Tyler Lockett, I don't know if he can play in the NFL, but he might be the most exciting guy I've seen this year in college football. And then he was a return guy, and then he became a receiver. He's good. Like, he's the go-to guy, not DK Metcalf. You know, but this still comes down to, it feels like Pete Carroll's philosophy is we run the football and we play defense. Well, you got Russell Wilson there. You're going to let him cook? Yeah, Paulie.
Tyler Lockett last year, 132 targets, 100 catches, 10 touchdowns.
This in with, we mentioned this last week, I thought Baker Mayfield was hurt. They just announced that he has a partially torn labrum in his left shoulder. This is non-throwing shoulder. He did that, he was trying to make a tackle. That Texans going, God. He's been wearing a shoulder harness. He's completed 15 to 33 passes in the game against the Vikings. Downplayed the injury, saying it should not be affecting his throws. I really do not think it's that complicated. Everybody's going to try and make an excuse. I pretty much hit on it after the game. I just have to make the damn play. It's that simple. All right. He's 26th in QBR so far this season. His rating is 39.8. The Browns have won 3 in a row. And now they travel to the Chargers. I'm gonna guess that the Chargers might be aware of that injury there.
Hot.
Yeah. I just found out that Ozzie Smith batted left-handed 3,009 times in the major leagues without hitting a home run until that moment.
Stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day. Pop.
Sorry about that, Dodger fan. Hey, but you had the walk off last night. You know, I'm just trying to reminisce about. Wasn't it Jack Clark? Oh no, that was Giants. Jack Clark off Tom Niedenfuhrer.
That's an Ozzie homer. Was off Niedenfuhrer.
Yeah. Oh, it was?
I think I was just looking
it
up. Is
that right? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, they should have pitched around him. I mean, the guy was due to hit one from the left side.
Why did you pitch to him? He had to be due. He hadn't homered in 3,000 at-bats batting from the left side of the plate. All right. Where do we stand on the poll question? Are we going to stay with that next hour?
Okay. The question was, who is the more talented quarterback, Russell Wilson Jr. III or Matthew Stafford? Interesting result that I'm not going to tell you till after the break.
Oh, wow. That'll keep people through the top of the hour. That'll keep you in your car, right? 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Great radio affiliates around the country. Hope you stay with us. Final hour. Chris Mad Dog Russo on loan from the Major League Baseball Network. Good afternoon, everybody. And also the voice of the Dodgers, Charlie Steiner, will join us on the program as well. 2 hours in the books, one more to go. Dan Patrick Show. One more item. We close out hour 2, M Drive, finding it harder to keep up with the younger guys at the gym or the office or on the golf course or basketball. Try M Drive, everyday supplement for driven men who refuse to let age slow them down. They have great products there. Go to mdrivedan.com or you can find M Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Clinically tested ingredients, M Drive supports healthy testosterone levels while helping maintain lean muscle, giving you that energy to fight back against aging so you can compete every single day. mdrivedan.com, delivered right to your door. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose. We're getting older. We don't have to act that way, though. M Drive gives your body the T support it needs to compete and win. M Drive, it's not for everyone. It's for the driven. Visit mdrivedan.com for more strength, energy, and T support to fuel your daily drive. mdrivedan.com or available at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive, mdrivedan.com.